This is the Truth Network. Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together, we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into kingdom pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
Baby. Today's Kingdom Pursuits is baby challenges and joys of adding to his family through the blessings of embryo adoption. We have Nate Burt, who's with us. He's the author of the just-released new book, Frozen But Not Forgotten, an adoptive dad step-by-step guide to embryo adoption, and an adoptive dad of Phoebe, now a year old, right, Nate?
That's right, Robbie. Thanks so much for having me.
And how exciting. I mean, this is such a wonderful subject, and I'm so excited. Here we are, Easter Eve, and with all this talking about new life, and we got a new life to talk about, don't we?
Absolutely. This is all about rebirth, and so I'm just so excited to get to visit with you about embryo adoption. You know, Robbie, a lot of people don't even realize it's a thing, and so to be able to visit with you this morning is a real pleasure, so thank you very much.
Yeah, it is for me as well. And along with Nate, we have Kimberly Tyson, and she's the executive director of Snowflake's adoption program at Nightlife Christian Adoption. So, Kimberly, what in the world is a snowflake to you?
Well, thanks for having me on the program with Nate today, Robbie. For us, a snowflake is the name of our embryo adoption program. It was the very first embryo adoption program established in the entire world, and it was named Snowflakes because each human embryo that we are hoping to help be born is frozen, and it is a unique creation of God, and it is a gift from God. So we are hoping that many more children like Phoebe will have an opportunity to be born because the folks who had their embryos created through in vitro fertilization are choosing to place them with a family like the Burts, who are willing to give birth to them.
Really? I mean, this is a fascinating subject and such a wonderful topic. So, you know, I kind of hate to kind of disturb it with my humor, but it's just what I got to do. So, speaking of baby, the fascinating thing about a snowflake baby is that when it's in a test tube, it's kind of got a womb with a view. I don't know if you ever thought about that. And I heard about a man who's, or a woman actually, sent her baby off to the army. Yeah, he was told that they were going to put him in the infantry. Yes. That's not too, yeah, that one got you. All right. And I don't know if you heard about the Hungarian inventor. He bought a baby bear, and later on it became really famous because it was known as Rubik's Cub. Now that's a dad joke right there. It's Rubik's Cube. Okay. All right. And here's another one just to really test you today, Keith. I missed my miniature Indian musical instrument practice last night. You know, sometimes it happens where I miss my miniature Indian musical instrument practice. I couldn't find my baby sitar. Yeah, there you go. Couldn't find a baby sitar. Anyway, you knew at the end of all those shenanigans, and some of those were pretty bad, but, you know, it's just what I do. There's a riddle that you can call in today, and you can win your choice of some stuff. We're going to get to that in a second. But first, I got to give you the riddle. Which baby brother in the Bible, you could say, was hanging on by a thread? Which baby brother in the Bible, could you say, was hanging on by a thread? 866-348-7884 is the number to call in and win. 866-34-TRUTH. And if they call in today, Keith, tell them what they'll win.
Well, Robbie, they can win tickets to see the Winston-Salem Dash.
That's right. We got actually six tickets to the Winston-Salem Dash. So that I think the game is this coming Tuesday night, so you got plenty of time to come by and get them. All you have to do is tell us which baby brother in the Bible could you say was hanging on by a thread. 866-348-7884 is a number to call in and win. So, Kimberly, getting back to this idea of, so if I'm understanding, and I'm not sure I am, that when people are trying to have a baby and they go through in the what did you call it? Fertilization, embryo?
In vitro fertilization. It's an assisted reproductive technology.
And so how is it that you end up with these other embryos?
Well, when a family chooses to use in vitro fertilization for their family building, oftentimes more embryos are created during that procedure than that family ends up using for their own family building for one reason or another. And those embryos are usually frozen and stored at the clinic or at cryobanks around the country. And when that family has completed having as many children as they wish to have, they find themselves faced with, well, what do we do with these embryos that are in frozen storage? They only have four choices for those embryos. One is to continue to pay the fee to have them stored indefinitely, and there is no shelf life that has been found for frozen embryos. They can thaw the embryos and discard them, which, of course, destroys the embryos. They can donate them for scientific research, which destroys the embryos, or they can donate them for reproduction, which is the only life choice for those embryos.
So, Nate, that's where you came in.
Yes, previously, fertility clinics, well, even today, fertility clinics have what they call embryo donation programs in-house, and people who have the embryos created at that clinic can donate their embryos through that clinic, but it's an anonymous donation, and they really don't know any of the outcomes for those embryos. In embryo adoption, we are applying the best practices of adoption because children are adopted into families, not donated. And so we follow those best practices, and the placing parents, the people with the embryos, have an opportunity to choose a family.
Right. So Nate, tell us a little bit about how you got to that place where you would consider that type of adoption.
You bet, Robbie. I would say that my wife and I, I'm a doula, and I have three biological sons, Micah, Titus, and Ezra. And you know, we always talked about adoption sort of before we got married, but we never really seriously considered it until I approached my wife one day and said, hey, we should consider having another baby. She said, okay, but we're going to consider embryo adoption. And the reason that was on her heart was because we had some friends of friends who had gone through the process. And she, in her work as a scientist, understood that an embryo isn't just a clump of cells, it's actually a life. And in this case, we're talking about a baby, human life. And so I, on the other hand, sort of viewed it as a little bit sci-fi, as a little bit something that I could never really wrap my mind around. You know, it was one thing early in our relationship about adoption, but actually pursuing it, especially as a dad, as a husband, I think there's often an aversion to bringing a child into your family that doesn't have your DNA. And I think it really boils down, Robbie, to pride. And so as I thought about it, prayed about it, you know, God certainly changed my heart for adoption and for embryo adoption specifically.
Wow. So this was your wife's idea.
Yeah, that's right. My wife always has the best ideas in our family.
Yeah. Well, I've been down that road a few times. So it wasn't really a struggle of your own to have natural children. You had them.
That's right. And Robbie, I would say that we are a little bit unusual, not unheard of, but a lot of families, and Kimberly could speak to this better than I could, but many families that could pursue embryo adoption are families that have never been able to have a child of their own.
All right. You can see this is a fascinating discussion. I'm very anxious to hear more from Kimberly and Nate, and we have two Riddlers on the line, so we're going to perhaps get our answer to which baby brother in the Bible was hanging on by a thread. So stay tuned. So much more Kingdom Pursuits coming up. By the way, you can go to kingdompursuits.com and find out all about this book, right? Frozen, but not forgotten. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. Today, we are blessed to have with us Nate Burt and Kimberly Tyson discussing a concept of Frozen But Not Forgotten, Nate's book, An Adoptive Dad's Step-by-Step Guide to Embryo Adoption. And Nate has a daughter named Phoebe, who is now 1 year old, and I guess you'd say 1 year old, probably not years. But anyway, we are going to get to all that in a minute. First, we got Tommy is in Jamestown. He's going to tell us which baby brother in the Bible you could say was hanging on by a thread. Tommy, you're on Kingdom Pursuits. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm going to guess Absalom.
Absalom. Now, that's interesting. Tell me your thoughts on that. I love Absalom. He was one of my the characters that really just jumps off the pages in the Bible. I mean, definitely holds your attention.
Right. Yeah, well, you know, he wasn't hanging by a thread as a baby, so I guess that wasn't a very good guess.
Well, I love it because, you know, anytime somebody comes up with something other than what I was thinking, I consider this a huge win. And now I see where he was. He was hanging by the threads of his hair, wasn't he, in the tree? Oh, my goodness. What a great answer, Tommy.
Okay.
And he was literally hanging, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
Until, I'm trying to think, Joab shish kebobbed him. It was brutal. That's quite a story. That's good thinking on your part, Tommy. So we're going to call you a winner, and hopefully you will enjoy coming to the Dash game. Thank you so much for calling in today and winning. God bless.
All right. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you. And we have also Doug is in Kernersville. Doug, you're on Kingdom Pursuits, and you may know
How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful.
Okay.
You may know which other baby brother in the Bible you could say was hanging on by a thread.
That would be Jacob.
Yeah.
And Jacob and Esau were brothers, and Jacob stuck his hand out first, and they tied a thread around his wrist. And then Esau was born, but really the firstborn was Jacob because he stuck his hand out first.
Yeah, so he is the usurper, and he started usurping early. And that scarlet thread goes throughout the Bible, doesn't it? That's a beautiful story.
Yeah. Did I get it right?
You got it exactly right. And you too. We will find more tickets. We'll find another game, and maybe not the one Tuesday night, but another night that we will get you Dash tickets for, and we just appreciate you listening, Doug, and calling in today.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Getting back to Kimberly and Nate. So, Nate, was this process for you? Now you know, God's kind of, well, let's go back to that a minute. So I'm assuming, Nate, you were a Christian as you entered into this process?
Yes, sir.
And so tell me about how your faith, you had mentioned that in prayer, God kind of changed your heart. Can you give us any more details of that?
Sure. I would say, Robbie, that over time, you know, I need to think about it and process it. I'm someone who, once I get on the bus, I'm all the way on the bus. I'm in the driver's seat. At least I get as close to the driver's seat as I can be. And so I think, you know, as I mentioned earlier, pride played a role in sort of limiting my belief about adoption. And so once God had taken care of that, it was full-fledged research mode. What are the steps? How are we going to learn? And so this book, Frozen But Not Forgotten, really sort of came out of that journey of discovery. Because their parents to be able to have the book that I wish I had had, and obviously Kimberly's team at Nightlight really played a critical role in giving us those tremendous insights that allowed us to not only think about embryo adoption, but successfully pursue it and bring baby Phoebe frozen into the world.
Yeah, and you got to tell us a little bit about Phoebe.
Oh, my goodness. Phoebe's wonderful. She has stolen our hearts. As you mentioned, a few weeks ago, she celebrated her first birthday with a Raggedy Ann-themed party and a smash cake. You know, she has beautiful red hair. She smiles. She laughs. She loves chickens. We have a few backyard chickens, so she enjoys those, really any moving animal. And so it's just so fun to watch her light up, to see her sweet little dimples, and to know that this is a child made in the image of God, and to think that there are 1 million frozen embryos like Phoebe around the United States waiting for a family, it brings me hope that other families can experience the joy that God has blessed us with.
So she has siblings. She has how many brothers and sisters?
Sure. So in our family, she has we have three biological sons. She has three brothers. Family had a set of twins that came from her set of embryos, as well as older. So she has three biological siblings and three siblings through our adopted family.
Wow. Wow. So could you describe those relationships?
Sure. So we have what's known as an open adoption, and I'm sure Kimberly can talk more about this, but essentially, every family, both the placing family that has the embryos, as well as the adopting family that's bringing the embryos into their family, has the opportunity to decide on what kind of a relationship they want. So we wanted to make sure, based on all of the adoption research of the past several decades, an open adoption in general is the best for the child, because it allows our child to have a relationship with her placing family as she grows older. If she has certain medical questions or wants to know more about where her family came from, her biological family, she'll have that opportunity. And so we share photos and emails. Occasionally we get together in person. Actually, the first time we met them, her placing family had us over to their home for a barbecue, and they brought their grandpa and aunts. And so it was a very warm and welcoming environment. And honestly, Julie and I didn't know what to expect, but we couldn't be happier with our placing family. And really, it's because of the fact that they recognize that an embryo is really a baby that we have Phoebe to begin with.
Wow. And Kimberly, yeah, can you, I'm sure you have a lot you could speak to on that.
Well, as an adoption agency, of course, we believe that open communication between the placing family and the adopting family is an important and child-centric practice of adoption. Most people are familiar with domestic infant adoption, and they know that in today's world, the woman who's giving birth to the baby that she's placing for adoption has a say in who is going to adopt that baby. And we felt that that best practice needed to be translated over to embryo adoption. And so we have a lot of education about what open adoption is. It really is really open communication between the two families at whatever level those families mutually agree upon. It does not mean that they have to celebrate holidays together, although we do have families that do that. We have families that vacation together. We have families that exchange one email a year. So the level of open communication is really mutually agreed upon by the families.
Wow, that is really a dynamic sort of relationship that it's kind of neat to just consider, Nate, what it would be like for those siblings to go, wow, this sister of ours is completely our sister from a standpoint of biologically, and yet, you know, that just leads to all sorts of things that, you know, are just a new kind of Brady Bunch.
Go ahead, Kimberly.
Go ahead.
No, you're quite all right. Go ahead, Kimberly.
I was just going to say, we do want the children that are born, that are genetic siblings to the children in the placing family, we want them to know about their origins. We want them to know about their family history. That's something that every child really has a right to know. And in today's medical environment, where children are born every day through donated eggs and donated sperm and donated embryos, all done anonymously, you know, these children, as they grow up, are looking in the mirror and thinking, I just would like to know where I came from and just look into the eyes of somebody who has the same eyes that I have. It isn't that they want to dismiss the parents that raised them. They are their parents, but there's a curiosity and a need to know. And through embryo adoption, we provide that path for these children.
Well, the thing that jumps out at me is, you know, Satan's not going to take this lying down. he is just not. And you know, one of the most pervasive ways that he can get in and hurt children is with their orphan spirit. And you know, there's all those questions that orphans ask, like, you know, did my parents not want me? And all those things that haunt kids. Even kids that even know their parents can end up with an orphan spirit where they feel isolated and whatever. And Satan's going to come in and twist that. My curiosity, either Nate or Kimberly, whoever wants to speak to it, is what do you think the twist is going to be for Phoebe? How is he going to, because it doesn't seem like, you know, the normal one would be, you know, my parents put me up for adoption because they didn't want me. But in this case, it was a matter of, they've chose this embryo over the other. You can't come to that conclusion. So I stumped.
Sure, I'll take a crack at it. And that's a really deep, philosophical. But on the end, I think, you know, I don't know what the question is, and I think, you know, the oldest baby born through embryo adoption, and Kimberly can speak more to this, is now in, I believe, her early 20s. And so these are questions that I think a new generation will be facing, and perhaps we can talk about it on the other side of the break.
Oh, that, yeah. That's going to be good. Oh, there's somebody. There's a 20-year-old baby. I want to find out about that one when we come back from Kimberly and Nate. Again, the book is Frozen But Not Forgotten. You can go to kingdompursuits.com and click on the book there. Order it from Amazon. Be sure and go back and review it afterwards. It's always encouraged for Nate. How God Take Our Passion and Use It to Build the Kingdom. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And today we're so blessed to have with us author Nate Burt with his new book, Frozen But Not Forgotten, and Kimberly Tyson, the executive director of Snowflake's adoption program at Nightlight Christian Adoptions. That's a pretty neat name. That's exciting. But right now we got Danny Spainauer with us. And Nana, you guys have a big concert coming up, right?
Hey, Robbie, yes, we do. Thanks for letting me be on this morning. I want to talk to the folks and let everybody know that the Collinsworth family will be coming to Pinedale Christian Church, not this Sunday, tomorrow, but next Sunday, April the 28th, and it's going to be a concert at 6 o'clock, and they are an incredible, incredible family, and it's going to be a great night of worship and praise.
Right, and so is there a ticket that you need to buy, or how do you get in to see the Collinsworth family?
Robbie, here's the thing. Our middle and senior adult ministry at Pinedale wanted to offer this kind of as a gift to our community, and so the concert's actually free. And we will take a love offering during the concert, but the concert's going to be free, our gift to the community. And so next Sunday night, the concert starts at 6, but the doors will open at 5. And if you're coming, I'd say come early. We had a guy come through our parking lot this week and wanted to know where he could park his bus. So a lot of folks are coming, so it's going to be good.
Yeah, well, the Collins family,
if you know them, you know they're big.
The Collins, yeah, speak to that a minute, because some may have not heard them, but they are just huge. And you guys, I can't believe you guys landed them to come to Pinedale. How did that happen?
I know. They're only in North Carolina a couple of times this year, and we're fortunate enough to have them. The Collinsworth family kind of falls under one camp. It's either, if you know them, you know they're huge, and you got to be kidding me, or if you don't know them, you're like, who? But the Collinsworth family, they fall under Southern Gospel, and yet they sing all kinds of music, and you're going to just absolutely love it. They're a family. And so, you know, family, when they sing, they can sound like one voice, and then all of a sudden they can sound like 20 voices. It's just amazing. And musically, these folks, they've won every award there is as far as playing the piano. Mom, Kim, plays the piano like you've never heard it played before. And then the daughters play the violin. It's going to be a really good night of just music, praise, and worship.
That is next Sunday, the 28th of April, a week after Easter, obviously.
Yes,
and
sir.
It's, did you say it's at 6 o'clock?
6 o'clock. Concert starts at 6, and the doors will open at 5.
So you need to get down there at 5, obviously, to get good seats to see the Collinsworth family. If you don't know where Pinedale is, let me tell you. You come to Winston-Salem and take, actually, the red, white, and blue 40, because Business 40's closed. If you've been here lately, you'll know that, even if you're in Charlotte or Raleigh today. But if you take regular old Interstate 40, and you get off at Peters Creek Parkway, which I believe is 150, isn't it, Danny?
The road is 150. Exit's 193 off of 40. But Peters Creek Parkway is Highway 150, and we're about 2 miles south once you get off of 40.
And over on the left-hand side is this
big,
beautiful Pinedale Church. Again, this is a huge thing. And speak for just a minute, since I got you here, Danny, about those ministries that are putting this together, because you guys really have something special at Pinedale with that.
About 2 years ago, our church really wanted to focus on 50-year-olds and above, and we call it our middle and senior adult ministry, because once you hit 50, you're not in a senior adult ministry. You're kind of right there in the middle. So we call it our senior and middle adult ministry, and we're trying to offer a lot of different ministries and programs for anyone age 50 and up. We believe they're the church. They were the church of yesterday. They're the church of today, and they're really the church of tomorrow. So we don't want to forget that group. Very important. And so last year, we started bringing in some really big-name concerts just to have good nights of worship and praise and a chance for people to come out and kind of meet each other and hang out and that kind of stuff. But that's our middle and senior adult ministries at Pinedale.
That is awesome. Thank you, Danny. I appreciate you sharing that so much. And
yes,
what
sir.
You guys do.
Thank
God is doing great stuff down there. Thank you. God bless you.
It's good. See everybody next Sunday.
Okay. Thanks. Well, getting back to Nate and Kimberly, right when we got at the break, we got to a point where I found out there was a 20-year-old Kimberly that was actually the oldest embryo. Tell us about that young lady, could you?
Sure. Her name is Hannah, and Hannah will turn 21 years old in December of this year. Hannah is Snowflake's baby number one. We started a long time ago giving numbers to our snowflake babies. I think Phoebe, Nate, if I'm not mistaken, is 575.
Really?
And
yeah.
So Hannah is Snowflake's baby number one. Hannah goes to university out in California. Hannah, praise the Lord, has really taken hold of her story as the first child born through the process of embryo adoption. She loves sharing her story, and that's really exciting because, you know, a lot of kids enter into their teens and early 20s and kind of want to set aside all the things that were happening to them during the time with their parents, but not Hannah. So that's really exciting, and so she is the oldest Snowflake's baby.
That is beyond cool. Have you ever heard her speak to any struggle that she has emotionally based on that experience being unique in the world?
I haven't heard her speak about struggling with being unique in that way. I have heard her talking about developing the relationships with her genetic siblings in her placing family. And, you know, developing human relationships is always fraught with fits and starts, and I know she does have good relationships with her genetic siblings, which is great. Hannah is an only child.
That is really, really neat. So, turning to you for a second, Kimberly, God obviously gave you this passion. That's fascinating. And then he kind of placed you in this position of executive director. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, maybe the point where you felt like, okay, God, this is where you want me, and, you know, your own journey of faith? Like, how did God give you that passion, and how did you end up on this adventure that who would have ever guessed, you know, 40 years ago, I'm sure, that someday you would be the executive director or director of something like this?
Well, yeah, that is an interesting question. You know, sometimes God just takes us down paths that we see the open door and we step through it. And that really was the case for my position here at Nightlight. I was hired 14 years ago to specifically manage our grant program from the federal government to raise awareness about human embryo donation and adoption. I still do manage the grants. In fact, I'm in the middle of writing grants right now. And hopefully we'll be awarded more money from the Department of Health and Human Services. It's great to use that to help more people like Nate's family know about this option that's available to them. I became the director of the Snowflakes program back in 2015. My background is in business administration, so I'm not a social worker. So I've been applying the best practices of business to this program, and it really has helped us to improve our processes and helped us to be able to get more babies placed and more babies born, because in reality, God is the author of life and the sustainer of life, and he's the one that created these embryos, and it's really exciting to join him in this work of allowing babies to be born that otherwise might remain frozen indefinitely.
And Nate, tell me about your faith walk. Were you a Christian when you met your wife? Was it, or did you come to Christ early in life?
I did. So I was raised by parents who were members of the church. I was in college. That's how my wife and I met, was through college and going to worship together. And so, I've been a Christian for quite some time. I sort of recommitted myself and was baptized last year, believing that perhaps the faith that I had, when I was 16, when I first came to Christ, was not as strong faith as it needed to be pleasing to him. And so I wanted to do that because I wanted my children to have the confidence in their faith just as I have in mine.
That is really cool. So you just were baptized again a year ago?
Yes.
That is so cool. So when we come back, I wanted to go a little into that and hear how God's been involved with Nate in this journey that he's on. So how exciting. Again, the book, Frozen But Not Forgotten. Go to kingdombirthsuits.com. Order yours now. We'll be right back. Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And, it's kind of a interesting thing to be on the radio and be given an opportunity to be a talk show host. And you're always, my hope is that you guys would see God as the hero of these stories, because, God in there helped Kimberly into the position where obviously, the neat thing I'm learning is that these families are so integrated that the children not only have parents, but now they have new siblings from other families, and they get to meet them and even their biological parents and all that goes on. That you can obviously see God's the hero of that story. And it's kind of, our job, if we choose to accept it, is to how do we see God's thread, as we talked about in our riddle, where's his thread through this particular story? And so the question I've been dying to ask, actually, Nate, ever since I found out about you guys, is you went from your wife gave you this idea, then accepting the idea, but now at some point in time, God put it on your heart to write this book. And that takes phenomenal. I'm guessing this is your first book?
This is my first book. I'm a journalist by profession, but yes, this is the first time I've written a book. It's something I've been meaning to do since I was a very small child.
And so I had sensed that this has really been a faith journey. Is that, as you were baptized, just that had to be right in line with God really took you places in writing this book, it sounds like.
Completely, Robbie. You're exactly right. And I really want to encourage your audience to pick up something to write with and write down two websites, because if it changed my life this way, it changed Kimberly's life this way, I can't help but believe it can change others. So the two websites are snowflakes.org, that's snowflake with an S at the end, .org, and then my website, which is frozenbutnotforgotten.com. Again, frozenbutnotforgotten.com. Those two websites, I actually blogged about this last night, and Robbie, the thing that gets to me is that, our society seems to have
a lot of interest right now in issues about life. And when does life begin? Is it right to take life? And I think as Christians, the answer is a definitive no. But so many people have made a distinction between an embryo and a fetus and a baby. And in reality, you can't have a fetus or a baby without an embryo. And so what I want people to think about is God is the author of life, as Kimberly noted earlier, and God knows each and every one of us. And so if I think just we have an obligation as Christians to tell people about this important subject, about the fact that there are these babies that families, as Kimberly said, are often torn about how, what do we do with these babies? Oftentimes families go into IVF not knowing there will be remaining embryos. And so the more education we do, I think the more we can do for these.
Oh, we're losing Nate, but we still have Kimberly. That's good. So similarly, where do you see growth as far as your ministry at this point in time? Or maybe how could our listeners pray for you, Kimberly, that what would be the next place you guys are going?
Well, I think that the objective of our program is very simple. The number of embryos in frozen storage in the United States is very high. Not every one of those embryos will eventually be born, but we are working really hard to educate families who do have remaining embryos that an option available to them is to place their embryos through our program using an adoption model. It empowers them to have knowledge about who they're placing their embryos with and enables them to know the outcomes of the placement of these embryos. If they do it through a fertility clinic, they really never know if a baby was born or not. Through our program, they will know that. And hopefully they will develop a relationship between the family that they place their embryos with and their own family. That would be fantastic. And then, of course, the other objective is, hey, it doesn't matter if I attract families to place their embryos. If I don't have families like Nate's that are willing to adopt the embryos and to give those embryos an opportunity to be born, there's no point in me attracting the placing families. So my job is really a balancing act between attracting both the placing families and the adopting families. We have plenty of embryos available. Oftentimes, fertility clinics in their donor programs don't have embryos available. But we have many embryos available that are just waiting, what I like to say, for a friendly womb.
Yeah, with a view. Or the one they might have, I guess, is with a view. So, you know, there's no doubt that that is just fascinatingly wonderful. And I'm so grateful for y'all's ministry. And Nate, back at you, was there something in your book that you just think, man, people got to pick up this book and read this chapter?
You know, I really think the chapter about how we got here and where we are going, this is really one of the unsung opportunities we have in the Christian community, in the pro-life community, to tell people that life begins at conception, whether that's in a test tube or in a traditional way, and we have a responsibility to help this next generation of children come into this world.
Wow. Well, thank you very much, you guys, and thank you, listeners. Without you, I've got no show. So we're so grateful that you're listening to the Truth Network. And stay tuned, because Encouraging Prayer is coming up next, followed by Disciple Magazine. No, it's followed by The Masculine Journey at 12 o'clock. So much truth coming at you on the Truth Network. Thank you for listening.